Well, hello, word nerds. It's your best friend BB Butt is here, bringing some words to you again today. Oh, I hope you have had such a wonderful time since the last time I was here, which wasn't very long ago. But it's been Spencer hosting this podcast for quite a number of days, and then I thought, you know what? I think I would like to have another go at it. I want to talk about some more words, Spencer. Do you have some words for me? And he said, yes, of course, BB Butters, I have some words for you. Here, this is a very fun section. There's a whole variety of words. They are all French-related. Somehow, they're very French. And Spencer knows how much I love going to Paris every year. I go and I just sit around and I eat the baguettes and I drink the wine and I look at the people and I have an espresso, a cafe. And, it's just such a beautiful place. I don't do any of the sightseeing. No, I just like to look at the people and listen to them say their fun Frenchy words. I have never learned French, so I just talk in my very American way, and they don't appreciate it whatsoever that I don't try. But, you know, but they like my fashion sense. So everybody loves me in France. I'm what you might call a genius in France. But today we have some words, and here we go. I got to take off these sunglasses, and I have to put on my reading glasses because I can't read with those sunglasses on. Everything is too dark and too blurry. So here we go. Oi, and I still haven't shaved since the last time I was on this show. I really should get on that. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's adjust the microphone, look at the glasses, see if my eyes will focus up. Here we go. We're always going here. We're going here. We got what's happening. The first word in this episode is the first form of French fry. Oh, I love a French fry. You fry up those potatoes, and then they become French, and they're speaking French. A French fry is a noun from 1918. People were making French fries all the way back in 1918. By the way, the first F, that would be the one that starts the word French, that one is often capitalized. So, a French fry is a strip of potato fried in deep fat. Oh, and it is usually used in plural, French fries. Oh, maybe they can take some of my fat and fry the potatoes in my own fat. I got some liposuction out of my buttocks. And they put it in a thing, and you put the fries in the thing, and the human deep fat fried. Oh, those French fries would be very, very tasty fried in my fat. But I do love a French fry. But, you know, you gotta season them up real good. They can't be bland French fries. French fries should be so good by themselves that you don't even need to put any sauces on. No ketchup, no mustard, no mayo, no HP sauce, none of that. Sometimes I'll eat them with that if I gotta. But, you know, they gotta be seasoned, they gotta be salted, they gotta be whatever seasonings you like. You put those on your French fries, and those are some good French fries right there. Maybe I should get some French fries for dinner. They're not very healthy, that's the problem. You know, the fat, the frying and the fat and the oils and just the potato. It's, you know, you shouldn't really be eating so much of that. They're so not good for you. But, oh, they're all so tasty. They are tasty, those French fries. I love those French fries. Hello, French fries. Give me your French fries. Put the French fries in my mouth, and I want to eat them all. The curly fries, oh, how many different types of French fries can we think of? There's the normal, like, McDonald's Burger King fries that are just like a stick. And then there's those other ones that are, they're like, what do they call them? Shoestring fries, where they're really, really skinny and crispy. Ooh, I love the crispy ones. Even in your normal basket of fries, those little crispy parts, oh, those are my favorite. And then you got those steak fries, which are like a wedge cut out of a potato. Those are okay, but they tend to be, you know, they tend to be a little bit softer and less tasty, less crispy. So I don't love those so much. And then we got the curly fries. The curly fries, for some reason, seem to be always seasoned. No matter who's making the curly fries, they're always seasoned. So I love a good curly fry. And then when you get a really, really long curly fry, you pull it out of the thing and you're like, oh my gosh, How long is this curly fry? That's like four potatoes right there. And then we get to the waffle fries. Waffle fries also are often seasoned, and those are very tasty. And, you know, you gotta cook them up good. You gotta fry them up real good. A good, crispy, seasoned waffle fry, that's one of my favorites, for sure. For sure. All right. Now, I think I have spoken enough about French fries, but not really, because I gotta make a sound effect. And which sound effect am I gonna make? Oh, I think I thought of one before, and I don't remember what it was. Let's see, I'm scanning through the words. We could do that, but I don't think you would like that. I'll just go, tasty, because we're talking about French fries. So now, we have the second form of French fry. This is the verb, a transitive verb, from circa 1930, so about 12 years after the French fry, we got the action of French frying. The first F is also often capitalized. So, this verb is to fry in deep fat until brown. And the thing that you might be frying is a strip of potato. A strip of potato. Ooh, look at that potato strip. I might as well face it. I am addicted to spuds. Any form those spuds can take, I love them so much. Au gratin. We're not talking about other forms of potatoes. We'll save those for when we get to those in the dictionary. But here today, we're talking about the action of French frying. But why is it called French? I still don't know. There is no etymology here. If I feel like it, maybe I will make Spencer go do some research and look up some information about why is this French fry. You know, I've heard of some people tried to change the name of French fry to Freedom Fry, and I don't really love that. I love the idea of freedom, but don't change the name of my fries. They're still French fries. That's just what I grew up with in the 30s on Coney Island. Tasty. Now we have the word French horn, and French is capitalized. This is a noun from 1682. It is a circular valved brass instrument having a conical bore, a funnel-shaped mouthpiece, and a usual range from B below the bass staff upward for more than three octaves. The French horn goes for over three octaves. They very politely put in a drawing of a French horn here in case you don't know what it looks like. Maybe I should also have Spencer post a picture of a French horn on his social media for this podcast. But the French horn, you know, it looks like a big circle. It's a big circle. It's maybe yay big, I don't know, a foot and a half across. But then on one part of it, there's a skinny little tube that comes off and with the mouthpiece, and that's where you put your mouth. And then the other side has the big old bell coming off the other end. And the bell, the width of the bell is almost as big as the circle. And I've seen people play these. They sort of hold them like this. They put them onto the right side, and I think that they got to put a hand in the bell for some reason. And there's some keys. It looks like I see three keys, three buttons for their three fingers. And then they blow in it, they go, bah! They blow in the mouthpiece, and then they hit their buttons with the fingers, and they go, bah, 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 bah. And that's the French horn. That's exactly what a French horn is. All right. Did we speak enough? Why is it French horn? Did they invent it in France? Maybe they did. Tasty. Now we have the word Frenchify. Oh, every time I go to Paris, I'm a little bit more Frenchified. So a Frenchify is a Frenchify. It's a Frenchify, not a Frenchify. This one is a transitive verb from 1592. It means to make French in qualities, traits, or typical practices. Frenchification, that is a noun often capitalized. So you're gradually turning something into its most Frenchy form. What's the things? It's qualities. What are some French qualities? Drinking wine, that's a French quality. Smoking the cigarettes, that's one of them French qualities. What else we got? Their traits. What are their traits? Well, they speak French. So if you start to speak more French in your day-to-day life, then you would be Frenchifying yourself. And typical practices. What are the typical practices? You know, hanging out. That's what they do. They like to just relax in France. Relax in France. All right, now we got to move on to a fun one. Tasty. It's French. There it is. French kiss. Ooh. Ooh. French kiss. Ooh. This is a noun from circa 1923. It was only about 100 years ago that we got the term French kiss in the English language. This is an open mouth kiss, usually involving tongue-to-tongue contact. It's got to be open mouth because your tongues can't touch when your mouths are closed. I don't know how you're gonna touch tongues when your mouth is closed. You're like, no, it doesn't work. No, you got to open your mouth and go. Ah. And I know this is visually very disgusting for those of you who are watching the YouTube, but that's what you got to do. You got to go. Ah, open the mouth and then stick out the tongue. And this is a very normal thing that many adults like to do. There are some young people who their hormones are raging, and they're like, ooh, what is this thing? I want to get close to you people that I never wanted to be close to before, but now I do, and I want to touch tongues. It's pretty gross when you think about it, but, you know, you brush your teeth beforehand, and then maybe it'll be okay. But where do you put your noses? Where do you put the nose? That's what BB Butters wants to know. You put your mouth, you gotta angle your head so you're not squishing noses. You don't wanna do nose to nose contact. That's a whole different kind of kiss. That's a Durante kiss. No, you wanna touch tongues, so you gotta get your faces as close as possible, tilt in the head, put your nose against their cheek, and then you touch tongues. And, you know, you got to sort of figure out your method. What do you like to do? How do you like to touch tongues? So many different ways to touch tongues. It's a French kiss. I still don't understand why it's French. They don't tell me why. Why is it French? The French people like to kiss that way. All right, let's move on to tasty. Oh, when I French kissed you, it was so tasty. Now we have French leave. This one is a noun from 1771. It is an informal, hasty, or secret departure. Ooh, I mean, I've heard of the Irish goodbye. Sounds very similar to this. It's very informal. You're very quick and hasty about it, and you maybe do it secretly, so nobody knows that you've left. Oh, it's a French leave. Now, I don't think I have ever heard of this one. But I have heard of the Irish goodbye, where you just walk out the door. You're out of there. I believe that's the one, because the Jewish goodbye is where you can't, it takes a whole hour to say goodbye to everybody. The French leave. Okay, well, what does the etymology say for the French leave? This is from an 18th century French custom of leaving a reception without taking leave of the host or hostess. They're very rude. I think it's very rude to not say goodbye to your host or hostess. You got to at least say goodbye to them. It's that their house. But I guess they don't. The French, they just want to leave. I say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I gotta go to sleep. That's exactly how the French talk. Tasty. Next is French letter. L-E-T-T-E-R. French letter. Noun from circa 1856. This one is chiefly British. And, interesting. Whoa, never heard of this one before. It's the number one definition for the word condom. A condom? Is there a different definition for condom than the one that BB Butters is thinking of? Let's take a quick look back, because this is very interesting. Why do the French call a condom a condom? A French letter? Like you're mailing a letter? You can just stick the letter in my slot? This is very interesting. We're almost at condom because, let's see, we got to look up. Here we go. The first definition. Yeah, it's a sheath commonly of rubber worn over the penis, and that's what it is. French people, or I guess this would actually be more British people, because this is the British people who are using this term. British people, can you please write me an email or leave me a voicemail? Leave Spencer a voicemail, because he's the one who does all the work. Tell us why you say French letter for a condom. There are so many possibilities that I can't even think of. Fascinating. Tasty. Frenchman. Frenchman or Frenchman is next. This one is a noun from before the 12th century. Number one, a Frenchman is a native or inhabitant of France. And don't worry, we are going to see French woman a little bit later. So, number two for Frenchman, a person who is of French descent. Now, I don't know if I have any French descent. I did not do the 1, 2, 3 and me ancestry thing. They have not taken my saliva. I'm keeping my saliva for myself and all of the people that I do some French kissing with. And also, I'm saving my saliva for French fries. I need a lot of saliva to soak up the French fries. So that was French man or French men. And now I shall say, tasty. It's now French pastry. Oh, the French people, they really do love their pastries. This one is a noun from 1847. It is a rich pastry filled especially with custard or fruit, or maybe both. Maybe you could put both fruit and a custard inside of the pastry. And these are some of the best pastries out there. Oh, it's got a tasty flaky dough. And then you open it up and you got a gooey, gooey, gooey filling of custard or fruit or maybe something else. And it's a French pastry. Oh my gosh. French pastry. Tasty. French pastries are tasty. Now we got French press, two words, noun from 1986. This is a coffee pot in which ground beans are infused and then pressed to the bottom by means of a plunger. And I have seen people use these before. It looks like a very fancy container. And there is a stick on the top and a sort of a wire mesh thing in the middle that's the perfect circular diameter of the tube of the container. And then you put the coffee grounds at the bottom, and then you push the plunger down and it squeezes all of the goodness out of the coffee bean, the ground coffee beans. And then you got to let it soak there for a little bit. So all of the water and the coffee beans are mixing. Maybe they're doing a little French kissing. And then eventually, maybe after 5 minutes or so, then you've got the perfect French press coffee. And you pour it into your cup and you go, that is so tasty. The next word is French provincial. French provincial. This is a noun. The P is often capitalized. The F is already capitalized. It is from 1945. This is a style of furniture, architecture, or fabric originating in or characteristic of the 17th and 18th century French provinces. So, what was the architectural style or the fabrics that they were using in all different parts of France in the 17th and 18th centuries? Well, we have stolen those styles in America, probably, and we now call them French provincial. Should we look this up? Should we look up French provincial and we can describe this style a little bit more? Let's do that. Let's see if I can find the keys. Here we go. We're cooking. We're typing with gas now. Oop, that was a little gas there. All right, let's look at the images. This is a lot of architecture. Not so much with the patterns, the fabric patterns, but you know, this looks very ornate, very fancy. You know, it's a little too fancy for my style, my taste, but you know, you'll recognize it when you see it. The chairs and the couches have that very sort of French ornate style, and it looks like something that I don't even want to sit on. I feel like, oh, I'm too dirty to sit on your French provincial couch. But when I taste it, it goes tasty. That didn't make any sense. Now we have French seam, S-E-A-M, noun from circa 1890. This is a strong seam stitched on both sides of the fabric to enclose all raw edges. You don't want any raw edges on your fabric. You know, I don't think I have any raw edges on my pink jacket here. No, they used some French seams to get rid of all of the raw edges. And it's a very strong seam. You try to pull it apart and you can't do it. Because you're a weakling. I'm talking to myself here. All right, that was French seam. Maybe it was the seam that all of the French people, when they were making the French provincial fabrics, they were using the French seam there too. Tasty. Next is French telephone. Two words, noun from 1932. The synonym is handset. Is this the handset when you're using the phone? See, I was used to those phones where you pick up the thing and you put it on your ear and then you talk into the cone and you click the thing. Operator, operator, can you connect me to my friend Doris? But then we got the newer phones and you put it up to your ear, you're holding it, and that's the handset. So is that the French telephone? Who's using French telephone for this handset? Maybe we need to look up a picture of one of these too, because, oh yes, these phones, these are very old phones, not as old as the ones that I'm used to, but they got the buttons or the rotary, and they still got that very ornate look to them. These are the telephones that they had in France, maybe many, many decades ago. Very fancy French telephones. Tasty. Next is French toast. Oh, yeah, I love a good French toast. It's a noun from 1871. It is bread dipped in a mixture of egg and milk, and then it is sautéed. Sautéed. Now, I think of sauté as sautéing veggies, but I guess you can also sauté French toast. Basically, you get it all coated with your egg and your milk mixture. Maybe you're putting some cinnamon in there, some sugar, maybe some other things. You get all the sides coated. You get it fully saturated with this mixture. And then you put it in a piping hot pan and you cook it. Maybe not even for very long, just until it starts to brown. You check it with your spatula that you bought at Spatula City. You check, oh yeah, that's looking very good, very brown. And then you flip it over. You got to watch out. You don't want to flip it too fast because the mixture could go flying across the kitchen, so you flip it over very gently, and then you got yourself a very tasty piece of French toast. And I don't know why they call it French. Is this how the French people eat toast? I don't know where this word came from. And then you probably want to put some butter and syrup on it. You know, you got to figure out what's right for you. Do you eat plain French toast? Do you French kiss your French toast? Do you put some syrup on it? I love to coat my French toast with so much syrup. Ooh, yeah, so it's sopping wet. That's French toast. I love French toast, but what I also love is tasty French twist. Noun from 1855. This is a woman's hairstyle in which the hair is coiled at the rear and secured in place. So literally, you're just twisting the hair. I don't have enough hair to twist. It's all up in this thing. I look like one of those people in the courtroom in the Britain land, or maybe one of the old American people in the 1700s. They had this hairstyle, too. I just never changed. So you just twist your hair, and then you tie it up, and that's a French twist. Is that how the French people are holding the hair? I guess so. We can just say yes. Next, we have tasty French window. I believe there was French door in the previous episode, and now we got French window. It is a noun from 1801, and it is a pair of casement windows that reaches to the floor, opens in the middle, and is placed in an exterior wall. You're not using the French window on an interior wall. Because then you just open it up to another room. You maybe from your bedroom to your kitchen. You open the window and you say, hello, the French toast is ready. Get up. Up and Adam. Up and Adam and Eve. Or maybe up and Adam and Steve. Come get your French toast. Quit your French kissing. Eat some French toast. And here's some French fries as well. So the French window, it's a very big window. It opens and you open it up to look outside. Oh, the birdies are singing. What a lovely day it shall be. Tasty. Next, we have French woman. Here we go. That woman is a French woman because she's got hairy armpits. Is that a little bit stereotypical of me to say? Probably. But I also got hairy armpits. So a French woman is a noun from 1592. 92? Number one, a woman who is a native or inhabitant of France. They could be from any part of France. Any part. They could be from Paris. They could be from Champagne. They could be from Bordeaux. They could be from, what's the one in the south that starts with an M? Can't think of it, but that's a French woman. And then number two, a woman of French descent. If your grandparents, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were from France, but you never went there, you're still a French woman. Okay, tasty. Now we have the word frenemy. No more French words. We finished all of the French words. We are leaving France and we're going out somewhere else. A frenemy is a noun from 1977. Did you know that this word is as old as 1977? That's almost 50 years ago. I thought it would have been more recent than that. But a frenemy is one who pretends to be a friend, but is actually an enemy. We've all got some frenemies out there, probably. Why are you pretending to be my friend when you're actually my enemy? What did I do to you that would make you want to be my nemesis? What did I do so wrong? Why are you my frenemy? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you are the one who is pretending to be a friend, but you're really an enemy. You don't like them. You're jealous of them. You don't like what they have. You want what they have, and you don't have it. So you're very angry at them, but you want to be close. You want to be close to everything that they have. So you become friends with them, and you are now a frenemy. Yeah, this is a blend of friend and enemy, if you couldn't have figured that out yourself. It's a very good portmanteau, I think. Tasty. Next is frenetic. This one is an adjective from the 14th century. The synonyms for this one are frenzied and frantic. Yes, I think all of those words go together very well, like Mo, Larry, and Curly. Frenzied, frantic, and frenetic. It almost seems like it came from frantic, possibly. Frenetically is an adverb, and freneticism is a noun. So this word comes from the Middle English, frenetic, with a K, which means insane. Also from the Latin freneticus, which is modified of the Greek freneticos, which is from frenitis, which means inflammation of the brain. So maybe they thought that when there was inflammation in the brain, the people went a little insane, and then they started using that word to mean, oh, they went a little silly, crazy, frenzied, frantic, frenetic, because they had the inflammation in the brain. Maybe I have a little inflammation in the brain. It's also from the Greek phren or phrene, which means diaphragm or mind. The mind is going frenetic! And now I think we got one more word for this episode. Thank you so much for sticking through all the way to the end. Here we go. Tasty! Tasty! The French fries are tasty. I also think the French toast is tasty, but what's not tasty is a French twist. A French twist ain't tasty because it's just hair. But I also think French pastries are tasty. Some people really like the French press coffee. It's tasty for them too. The last word is frenulum. F-R-E-N-U-L-U-M. Frenulum. This seems like something related to frenemy, but I don't think it is. It is a noun from circa 1706. Number one, a connecting fold of membrane. That's not your brain in your head, it's a membrane. A connecting fold of membrane serving to support or restrain a part. And the part that it might be supporting or restraining is the tongue. So is this the thing underneath your tongue that connects your tongue to the bottom part of your mouth in between your teeth, all of your teeth? That is called the frenulum, I guess. And, you know, let's look at the frenulum. Yep, that's my frenulum. You just saw it. Not up close, but you saw it nonetheless. Is there a rumor that the guy from the band, the rock band French Kiss, did he cut this frenulum, got it surgically cut so he could stick out his tongue longer? I got a pretty long tongue. And if I cut the frenulum, it would be even longer, I guess. But then the whole tongue might fall out of my mouth, and then I wouldn't be able to French kiss people anymore. And that would be very sad, because French kissing is my favorite pastime. So number two for frenulum is a bristle or group of bristles on the front edge of the posterior wings of some Lepidoptera that unites the wings by interlocking with a catch on the posterior part of the four wings. So it's something, it's a thing on the wings. Bristles, a group of bristles, it's helping you to do some flying. That's called the frenulum. I was not aware of that one, but I was sort of aware of the one under the tongue. I could never remember the name, but it's frenulum. Well, I now need to pick a word of the episode. We had so many good words in this episode. Oh, I forgot all of them, so I shall read them to you and also to me. Here we go. BB Butters is reading you the words. French fry, French fry, French horn, Frenchify, French kiss, French leave, French letter, French man, French pastry, French press, French provincial, French seam, French telephone, French roast, French twist, French window, French woman, frenemy, frenetic, and frenulum. Oi, this is so difficult. I don't know which one to pick. There are so many good words here. I mean, we love the French. There's lots of food, things that you can eat or drink, consumables in this episode. We had French fries, French pastries, French press, French toast. Those are all very good words. But, you know, which one do... I mean, we could pick French kiss. You know, that's kind of a fun thing to do. Yeah, sure, why not? Let's just pick French kiss as the word of the episode. There was that movie, French Kiss, with that wonderful Kevin Kline. Oh, I love Kevin Kline. He's so good at everything he does. Why must he be so good and funny? But a French kiss... Now I'm supposed to sing a song about French kissing? French kissing, French kissing, it's my favorite thing to do, French kissing. Get your tongue over here, I'm gonna stick my tongue on it. Open your mouth, cause you can't French kiss with a closed mouth. We're French kissing, don't put that tongue in my ear. That's a different kind of French kiss. Alright, that was just oh so wonderful. I love singing songs, just silly nonsense songs about words and things. And now you can go think about French kissing. If you don't have anybody to French kiss, go out and just put your mouth on somebody and say, hey, I'm French kissing you today. And they will love it. Nope, don't do that. You need consent. All right. Well, this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much. We got to do this with the sunglasses and not the reading glasses. Hold on a second. Here we go. Now we got the full BB Butters style. Thank you so much for checking out this show. I hope you enjoy it when I come on the show. I'll come on more if you think that's a good idea. You'll see more BB Butters. You got to tell Spencer, though, so he can call me up and say, hey, Spencer, hey, BB Butters, the people want you to come on the show again. And I say, okay, let me get in my little car and I'll drive over to the studio. Thank you for checking it out. And this is not Spencer, not dispensing information. Good boy. Butters.